All the presents are unwrapped. So how did Christmas go this year on a scale of 1 to 10? Did it go exactly as planned? Did all the Christmas lights work perfectly the first time? For us, we started getting our Christmas lights out and we plugged some in to decorate our saguaro cactus. And as we were wrapping them around our cactus, one went out. So we spent about an hour trying to figure out which light it was before we decided it wasn't worth it any longer and threw them away. And so half of our cactus is wrapped in green lights that actually were never plugged in this Christmas because things didn't go as planned. Jude reminded me, my youngest, he's like, "Dad, the cactus isn't lit." I'm like, "Sorry, buddy, we'll do better next year." Did we get everything we wanted? Did the kids and the grandkids get everything they dreamed? Was the family get-together exactly what you thought it would be? Or was something that didn't go quite as planned? This time of year, no matter where you turn on the television, you see Christmas stories, Christmas movies being played out. And I have to admit, I didn't get very much time this year to watch Christmas shows, but over the years I've seen, I think, every Christmas show that they've made. And my favorite one is The Christmas Story with Ralphie and his BB gun. And honestly, I only got to watch about 10 minutes of it, even though it's on for 24 hours. My wife isn't a huge fan, but that's all that was on Christmas morning that I was able to catch. But as I was thinking about other Christmas movies, the Christmas story that is told on the television, I was thinking about the one thing they have in common. And the Christmas stories aren't always about Jesus or even Christmas. The one thing that I see that they have in common is that things don't ever go as planned. For instance, the movie A Wonderful Life. It's about a man named George Bailey who lives his life. He lives a pretty good life, but things don't go as he planned, to the point where he wishes, spoiler alert, sorry, that he wishes that he was not born. So an angel shows him what life would be like if he was never born. In the movie The Christmas Story, nothing seems to go right. From everyone telling Ralphie that he's got to shoot his eye out, to breaking of the famous Christmas leg and the glue being out, to the Bumpus hounds eating Christmas turkey and having to spend Christmas at a Chinese restaurant. In the movie The Christmas Vacation, the main character, Clark W. Griswold, nothing goes as planned in that movie. He doesn't get his Christmas bonus, which he was planning on buying a pool for his family. He had announced it already to his family that they were going to build a pool with a Christmas bonus, and then he didn't get it. His brother-in-law, Uncle Eddie, loses his house and moves the Winnebago into the driveway. The Christmas tree is dried out because Snot the dog drinks all the water. And when the crazy uncle lights a cigarette next to it, burns the Christmas tree up. A turkey is so overcooked that it shrinks when cut into it. And we not forget the Christmas lights that don't work. The 300,000 of Christmas lights that simply don't work because a switch is turned off. In fact, I was trying to find a Christmas story that had everything go as planned, and I really couldn't think of one. No matter what happens, the story around Christmas is we plan it, it doesn't go right, and then something good happens at the end. Things don't just go wrong this time of year. If we think about it, a lot of our life, we do a lot of planning. We gather here today teetering on 2 years. 2015 is almost behind us, and 2016 is just around the corner. So how many of us would say that 2015 went exactly as planned? How many of you stuck to your New Year's resolutions that you set out for in the beginning of this year? No one, really? It's only been 361 days. No one has kept those. I was reading the other day that by Thanksgiving, people typically throw in the towel for the year. There's no new diets. There's no new exercises. There's no new anything come Thanksgiving. We wait until the next year, then we'll start. But once Thanksgiving hits, if you've not dieted, the odds are stacked against you. If you're not started working out for the year, you'll just wait until 2016. Think about the previous 361 days of this year. Did things go as planned? Did anyone here do exactly what they set out for in 2015? Now, we probably did some things that we set out to do, and other things probably popped up along the way, whether things were better or worse. Things did not necessarily turn out how we planned them as we started the year. I have to admit, if I had scripted 2015 for my life, I would probably not have written it the way it started. See, my year started off kind of rocky. On New Year's Eve, actually, my youngest, we went to spend a day at AZ Airtime, the trampoline thing in Scottsdale, for a fun afternoon. About 10 minutes into it, he jumped off of a trampoline and broke his arm. That was how 2015 started for us. Becca and I struggled to keep our family together. In March, my grandma passed away a day after her birthday. And when I went home to Indiana to celebrate her life and her memorial, I was so upset with my attitude of my sister during the visit that I honestly wondered if I would ever speak to her again. That was the first 3 months of the year. We also bought a new car and sold our old one. That was not planned. My daughter, who's got long, beautiful blonde hair, got lice that took us like a month to get rid of. While I was driving the kids to school one day and to work, I was traveling at 37 miles an hour, only to be told by a police officer who pulled me over that the posted speed limit was 25. So things didn't necessarily go as I had planned. And 25 miles an hour is really hard to drive by, just so you know. It's really hard to drive 25 miles an hour. And those are just a few things that happened that were unexpected during this year. And many of you might find yourself in similar situations this year. Maybe you had stressed relationships. Maybe you lost loved ones. Maybe you're dealing with an injury or an illness. Or other situations that you just did not put into place in 2015. A little over 2,000 years ago, an angel came to a teenage girl. She was engaged to be married and told her that she was going to have a baby. The angel told her that her son was going to be great, that he would be called Son of the Most High, and that the Lord God would give him a throne of his ancestor David, who was the greatest king that Israel has ever seen. She was told that her son would reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there would be no end. Could you imagine being a teenager and this happening to you? What would be going on in your mind? You were a virgin and you were told that you were going to have the Son of God, the Son of the Most High. What kind of expectations would you have? I mean, definitely you get like skip the line in Disneyland when he's born line. There's certain benefits that you would think that one would get having the Son of God. And just imagine for a minute if an angel came to you, and it's kind of a far stretch, but it's the best I could do. And the angel came to you and said that your child or your grandchild was going to be a president of the United States, who was going to change things for the world. They were going to be known throughout history as a great person. What kind of hospital would you think your child would be born in? Who do you think would be there when your child was born? Would it be world leaders? Would it be politicians? What about the people who might want to cause them harm? if he's going to be great or she's going to be great and it's going to be the president of the United States, there might be people lined up to actually cause that child harm, even from birth. On your gift registry, could you imagine what Mary and Joseph tried to register for the Son of God? How does that actually go when babies are asked? Hey, how are you registering for? Yeah, I'm registering for the Son of God. You got blankets? No, we got swaddling cloths. That's what we have. And could you imagine the birthing announcement that you might receive if you'd got one from Mary and Joseph? Mary and Joseph would like to welcome the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords, the Son of the Most High, Jesus the Christ, into the world. Born 8 pounds, 7 ounces, 20 inches long on December 25th. Yeah, that one just gets set aside. Who could keep up with that, right? Would you blame Mary if she was a little upset by the way and the circumstances that Jesus was born into the world? There's no way that Jesus' birth went as Mary had planned when that angel told her that she was going to be the mother of the Lord Most High. She had to travel on a donkey to Bethlehem, far away from where she lived. She had to have the baby next to animals and put him in their feeding trough where they ate. Some of the first people to show up that night were shepherds. Yes, shepherds, which were one of the worst jobs, the lowest jobs that one could have during that time. Not to mention that once things finally started to get normal, these three wise men from the east show up bringing gold, frankincense, and myrrh as presents for your child. And then you'll finally think, yes, we finally got this under control. He's sleeping through the night. We've got it under control. Joseph has a dream. And in that dream, he doesn't say, hey, go back to your hometown. The angel says, actually, you need to go to Egypt, even further away from your home and your family, and wait there until I tell you to return. If it wasn't bad enough, we read it in Scripture today that then Herod was so upset that the Magi did not return and tell him where the baby was, that he proceeded to kill all children in that area who were 2 years and younger. Mary and Joseph fled, but those babies did not. Not exactly what one would expect with the birth of their first child, nor the Son of God. No matter how well we plan, no matter how well we try to execute, things do not go as planned. When Becca and I were preparing for our first child to be born, Trey, we did lots of things to prepare for his arrival. We took classes. We read books. We watched videos of books. We child-proofed the house, so we thought. When we did our baby registry, we researched every item from the car seats to the pacifiers to what blankets were the best. I actually, the house we had did not have a washing machine in it, so I bought a portable, I'm sorry, it didn't have a dishwasher. So I bought a portable dishwasher so we could sterilize the bottles, because when you're first born, you sterilize everything when it gets it all dirty. We even, when we went to register for our baby shower, we actually took a friend who had 2 children already to help us guide to find out what was practical and what was not. We registered for the nice, practical mom-looking baby bag, and then we also registered for the cool, hip dad bag that I had to carry. The dad bag stayed in the closet, and the practical one came what we used for the next 3 kids. We even had a birthing plan, what we wanted from when our child was born. We sat down with our doctor, talked with them about what we wanted, what we hoped for, and the doctor was like, yes, very reassuring, we can make that happen for you. When we got to the hospital, we gave that birthing plan to the nurses, and we brought them cookies just so that things would be even smoother and more practical, and so that they would know who we were and like us. But when we showed up to the hospital that day, our doctor was not on call. It was another doctor. And things quickly did not go as planned. Labor lasted a lot longer than we expected. Becca started at midnight and lasted well into the afternoon hours. She was completely exhausted by the time Trey was born. The pain was so great that she took pain medicine for it, but during that, the pain medicine wore out. And during, and no one told us, we thought we were going to have a small baby. Trey was our smallest. He was 9 pounds, 5 ounces, 22 inches long. No one told us about big babies. We could not have understood, and despite what people told us, despite the warnings that people gave us, we could not have expected the amount of sleep we would not get and how exhausted we would be. Again, we thought we had a plan, and I would get up and change diapers, and she would get up and feed, and it was a terrible, terrible idea because we were both just exhausted all the time. But something that we could not have expected, books did not tell us, that we could not read anywhere, was the amount of love that we would have for that child when he came out. The amount of joy that he would bring in his 8 years of life with us. But God did. Oftentimes when we look at the birth of Jesus, we think this is God's backup plan. What we read in Genesis, Adam and Eve and the falling and the being tempted by the serpent, Jesus is the backup plan for that. If Adam and Eve had just done what they were told and had said no to the serpent, there would be no need for Jesus. But that's not true. We are told in Scripture that Jesus was in the beginning, and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God from the beginning. Jesus coming to earth was not a backup plan. It was God's plan for us all along. It was his way of showing us his love for us. Bethlehem was no accident, but foretold by prophets hundreds of years before. Despite not being a part of Mary's plan and Jesus' birth, not going exactly as she wanted it, it was exactly as God had scripted it. Exactly as God had foretold in the prophets years and years before. We don't always see what God sees. We don't always understand what is in store for us. Despite our devotion, sometimes when we pray, we don't get the answers we're looking for, or maybe that we want. Sometimes God doesn't say yes to our prayers. Sometimes the answer is no. But just because the answer is no doesn't mean that God doesn't care, that God doesn't want us to care. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love us. As parents, as grandparents, as children, we know that sometimes the best thing, the most loving thing that someone can say to us is no. There's a hot fire. No. Don't put your hand in it. Oh, there's a really tall ladder. No, don't climb it. Oh, there's a sidewalk with cars moving that look really cool. No, don't run in the streets. No can be a word that is used out of love all the time. But often when God uses it in our lives, we like to think that God isn't listening. If we ask God to heal a loved one, and the healing doesn't go as we plan, we get upset with God. When relationships are struggling and they don't go as we want them to, or things don't work out the way that we plan them to, we like to think that God isn't listening. When we pray to get that job and we say, God, it will be different this time around, I promise. And God says no, we are upset. 2 weeks ago, we had lots of college students and high school students who spent a lot of time in prayer because it was finals week. And during that week, I'm sure there was lots of prayers that were, God said no. God, I'm sorry I didn't study. If you just give me an A on this test, I will. No. Again, it doesn't mean God doesn't care. For college students, doesn't mean that God isn't listening to high school students. But sometimes the best answer of love is no. Paul tells us in his letters to Romans that we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. It doesn't say that things will go as we plan them. It doesn't say that things will always go smoothly or that we won't run into problems along the way. What it says is that all things, the good, the bad, shepherds showing up on your door unexpected after your child is born, even watching your child being crucified on a cross, God is at work. We might not always understand it. It might not always be easy. It might at times seem unfair that God doesn't care or hear us, but be assured that God is at work in our lives. Now, did God want or plan for Herod to kill those children, 2 years and younger? Does God plan on innocent people being shot and killed on a daily basis here in this country? Does God want us to suffer from illness or people to go hungry tonight? No. That is not what God intended. That is not what God hopes for. But God can use that for good. Even when it's hard for us to see, God's plan is bigger than us. There's a book I read a few years ago called God's Blog. And the author at the very beginning writes, "I know this is not a blog because it's not on the internet. And I know I am not God. But this is what I would assume, this is what I might suspect God might write if God were to blog today." And one of the blogs was about a man. And it says, and in the blog it says, "John, I heard your prayer today for the job promotion. But today I say no. I say no to the job promotion because what you don't see is that your wife is now pregnant. She's going to have a child. She's going to have a daughter. And that daughter is going to have special needs. And if I gave you the job today, this job that you would get would take you away from your family for long periods of time. And you would get another promotion, and that promotion would lead you to even further time away from your family. And I need you, and your wife needs you, and your daughter needs you in their life. So I say no. Because what you don't see is that your daughter is going to grow up. And because of your faith, and because of your wife's faith, she's going to know who the Lord is. And as she grows up, she is going to meet somebody who also knows who the Lord is. And they are going to fall in love, and they are going to have a child. And that child is going to do great things. They will lead hundreds of thousands of people to know who I am through the work that they will do. So John, today I say no, because I have better things in store for you and your family." It doesn't always happen right away. We can't always look at the next day and say, "Oh, this is where God is in that moment." Sometimes it takes years, sometimes it takes months, sometimes it takes lifetimes for us to understand. But things don't always go as we plan. For Mary, when she was told that she was going to have a son and that he was going to be great, that he was going to be the Prince of Peace, the Messiah, she didn't plan on having him next to a bunch of animals. When she was told that he would reign over the throne of David, she didn't expect him to ever wear a crown of thorns and to be taunted while dying on a cross. But 2,000 years later, we can look back and see God's work at hand through a baby born in a manger. As we look back at 2015, we might be able to see God's work at hand in our lives, through the difficult times, through the good times. But maybe it's too soon. Maybe we can't. But we can rest assured that God has been and will be at work in our lives, even when things don't go as we plan. Because sometimes blessings don't come through sunshine. Sometimes they come through raindrops. And sometimes the healing that we need, it comes through tears. Even when we face trials of life, when bad things happen to us, we never know what mercies await for us. And if we have faith in God's love for us, when we have a plan and suffering enters that plan, we could have joy and gladness in knowing that God is at work each and every day. Not that it takes away from the pain, not that it takes away from the hurt, but in all things, God works for those who love Him. As we head into this new year, know that things are not going to go as you planned. Not one person raised their hands for the New Year's resolutions. Go for it. Try. They never work for me. But I will say, things are not going to go as planned. But know that God is at work in your life, each and every day, and through every step along the way. Let's say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year as we enter this season, as we continue this season of Advent. Amen.